Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp. Keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me unction in my gumption. Help me function, function, function. Give me unction in my gumption, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Give me unction in my gumption. Help me function, function, function. Help me function till the break of day.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me joy in my heart. Keep me singing, singing, singing. Give me joy in my heart, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Give me joy in my heart. Keep me singing, singing, singing. Keep me singing till the break of day.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me peace in my heart. Keep me resting, resting, resting. Give me peace in my heart, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Give me peace in my heart. Keep me resting, resting, resting. Keep me resting till the break of day.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Give me love in my heart. Keep me serving, serving, serving. Give me love in my heart, I pray.
Hallelujah.
Give me love in my heart. Keep me serving, serving, serving. Keep me serving till the break of day.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King. Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings.
And I will sing
Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King.
Amen, amen. Hosanna to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Well, Remnant, welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard. Welcome to the calendar year, anyway, of 2023. January 5th, 2023. That's today. Coming to you live from, oh, it's a dark radio ranch, but give us another 30 days, and I think it'll start lightening up. But welcome. Phone lines are open tonight, and I'm excited to be here. I'm honored to be here. I have some current events to talk to you about, some scriptures, and a little bit of everything. It is exciting times that we are in. I hope that as you see these current events going on, that it drives you to prayer, but also to praise, to thank our God that His Word comes true, and to thank Him for opening our eyes to His Word as it does come true. And we rejoice in that. We do. We should all. And be thankful that we get to live in these days. How about that? Well, let's open up with a word of prayer. We do our best to encourage you to pray, to start your day, start your events, the things that you do, if you travel, if you drive to work in the morning, start your day with prayer. Speak to God. Cry out to Him. You know, we're reading in our Bible reading in Job. Reading chronological, and that's what Job did. I want to talk about that just for a minute. He cried out to God, and that's okay. That's okay. It is. Well, pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this day that you've given us. Thank you for the countless blessings that you have poured out upon us. Thank you most of all, Lord, that you saw a way and you made a way through your Son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us and to save us and to redeem us, Lord, to pay, that you created a way to pay for our sins. And we thank you for that. Thank you for that first and foremost, Lord. And let the name of Jesus Christ be glorified throughout the land and throughout our lives. In all that we think, say, and do, let us glorify you, O Lord. Father, I pray your blessings on this broadcast. Guide and direct me, my thoughts and my words, to share what I'd like to share from your word and the current events. And Lord, to encourage your people to love and good deeds, to make sure that we all can smile at the future, regardless of what comes before us and what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears. Let us override all of that with your word and your promises and your truth. And we praise you in this. We thank you for the times that we are in, these times of peril and times of trouble and times of confusion. And Lord, we pray and I pray that it opens the eyes of those that are still blinded, that it opens more and allows more people to gain back their sight and to come out of their stupor and to return to you. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to awaken your people here in this country. And I pray this to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open tonight, 307-745-5913. I am asking for Jason to talk to him today, asking for reception reports. We are on shortwave 5085 tonight. We're doing some testing. You know, if you've been tuning in, Jason and I both spent some time before Thanksgiving and then a good bit before Christmas out working on the shortwave station. And on WTWW, and back on tonight, 5085, testing it. I know it's been up and down, but wanted to let you know, got a good reception report out of Tennessee from Brother Marlin that it was coming in loud and clear there. So if you're getting it on 5085, the shortwave, send us a reception report. We'd sure like to know how it's coming in, and you can send that to Jason at sfaw.org, or you can call us here at the office. And I'll be out printing tomorrow. I won't be in the office tomorrow, but you can call, leave a message, 307-742-7582, and let us know how it sounds. And so we appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. We are continuing to do our best to continue to get the true gospel message out to the true people of the Bible, which it is such an important message. And shortwave is one of the many ways that we do that. And we've kind of had to drop back and punt on this shortwave, but lots going on behind the scenes, folks. Lots going on. We don't really put it out in the newsletter and talk about it from the pulpit, but been a lot of work going on there, and so we do ask you to continue to pray for us here at the ministry, and pray for all the ways that we're blessed to be able to get the gospel out. Do want to encourage you also, remind you of the chronological Bible reading plan for 2023. Today, we got a little bit of Genesis read, and then stepped into Job. Because apparently that's the order that it happened in. And so it is good to read Job. Even if just on the outset you say, man, I'm glad all that hasn't happened to me. And that's understandable. It really is. I'm glad all that hasn't happened to me. That's a lot. A lot that came upon Job. But you know, when we read throughout the scripture about Job, it talks about that Job did not sin, and righteous Job. And our reading today in Job 6 through 9, his buddies are giving him advice. And, you know, we can learn from this. I don't understand everything about it, but it sure seems that that in this affliction, that Job didn't need to be told that, well, Job, you must be a sinner, because God only comes down on sinners. He really didn't need to be told that. That was not the time. But that's what he was told. And so I think we can learn that sometimes, you know, when you got a hold of the bear, as Dad used to say, you know, everybody knows what to do with him except the man that's got a hold of him. And Job had a hold of the bear right then during this book that we're reading. And the bear had a hold of him. And, you know, it's not so much that, well, anyway, I think we can learn from it. That sometimes, just and like his friends were, what they went and sat with him for, a week and just in silence. Sometimes that's just what our friends and family need when they're going through those trials. Sometimes just our presence is enough. And sometimes, well, you know, I don't think they need to hear the law right, not the letter of the law right there to it, but words of comfort more so than accusations. How about that? And so I think that is something we can that we can learn, and I hope we do. I hope we do. And anyway, phone lines are open tonight if you want to call in, 307-745-5913, and we'd be glad to take your call. And but I hope you are. I encourage you to read your Bible. Try it chronologically. What can it hurt? What can it hurt? All it's going to do is help. It really is. It's not going to hurt you any. Takes a few minutes. It's just about right now getting through Job, about three, anywhere from two to three, maybe four chapters a day. If you haven't started yet, it's not too late to get caught up, and be glad to send you the Bible reading plan. We've got them printed up, and would be glad to send them out. And we're sending them out with orders. If you get a couple extra, for those of you that order, probably through January, I'll send this out with the orders. Pass it on, and encourage others to read it. We need to be turning back to the Bible, turning back to God Almighty, turning back to Jesus Christ, the only way to God the Father. We do need to be doing that. Well, I see the phone line's ringing, and good evening. Welcome to 7x70.
Well, hi, Richard. This is Tim calling from Wisconsin.
Good evening, Tim.
I was going to call last week. You were talking about your son and how successful he is.
Okay.
And I had that idea that the reason he is successful is because he's following the commandment to honor his father and his mother.
Well, I think that I'd have to say my sons, they try. They do. I think they try. You know, they're still growing in the grace and knowledge, like we all are. And Tim, I think you got the right attitude, necessarily because they're my boys, but you know, the word is true. You know, when we do our best to follow his law, his commandments, his instructions, his however you want to say it, when he says do this, don't do that, those things, we will be blessed. We will be. It's just in the long run, you know, it's not, we've said, it's not like the genie in the bottle. Hey, if I do this, God's going to do that. And so, you know, we do it for God to do that. That's not how it works. It's a way of life.
And Paul calls that the first commandment with promise.
Yes.
And they were taught that, you know, and I think the children need to be taught that. And, I think another reason that it's so obvious they need to be taught that is because the world, you know, the media and the school system and all that, they do exactly the opposite. You know, they teach them to dishonor their parents.
Yes. Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And that's even more indication. But when they do that, they succeed. And the other thing I wanted to throw out there was that we got to come up with another name for cowboy. I think it's just something that maybe Hollywood came up with or something that stuck. I just the South Americans, they call the cowboys gauchos.
Gauchos. Vaqueros, I think, down in the Southwest. They have different names for them, depending on where you go. The titles we give, the names we give, like you said, they change. I grew up with the Flintstones, you know, cartoons. And, Meet the Flintstones. We'll have a gay old time. And let me tell you, that sure had a different meaning when I was growing up at 8 years old. I'm 57, than it does today. And so, yeah, I know what you mean, Tim.
We shouldn't have let them do that, but I don't know how we could have stopped them. But at the same time, I mean, we've kind of done our best to stop them. But I think this idea of being a boy is an adolescent person, you know, is not a man, right? And it sounds like your son, he's got all these horses and got saddles and he's doing all this amazing stuff, and it sounds like he's a man now, you know, and
right.
and I think, you know, he deserves a better title, and all of these cowpunchers or whatever the heck, they deserve something better than being called adolescents, you know, because they're growing up, they're mature, and they're doing doing a good thing, you know.
I agree. Yeah. Our language has changed so much, and we do so much we just go along with the crowd so much in our languages. Pastor,
hear of that is these media masters behind the scenes that are basically doing a neuro-linguistic programming or something like that, you know, trying to get the people all messed up. That's why I think, you know, some of this stuff is so simple. It's like, you know, honor your father and your mother. And not only that, it proves to the children, as they're growing up, it proves the truth of the word, you know, how that it's true.
Yes.
And it's simple. And then, but I think we need to point out some of this stuff, like this gay or whatever. We know that's an abomination, and we know that they can come back to Christ. You know, we know that they really do need the word desperately. You know, the poor people that are afflicted with that.
Yes, absolutely.
But, simplicity and just like stomping out their apostasy when we get the chance. And, you know, anyway, that's pretty much all I want to say is congratulations.
Well, thanks, Tim. God sure gets the glory, that's for sure. He does. He does, because we are certainly nothing without him, and can do nothing
absolutely
without him. And just like in our Bible reading plan, reading of, you know, Job talks about that, not just in today's reading, but all through Job, that, you know, he is nothing. A worm and just literally nothing, and God is everything. And that is that attitude, that understanding is just so foreign today, in this in this land and society that we live in. Because like you said, Tim, it hasn't been taught. No, just the opposite has been taught. Because our enemy understands that the power of God is made manifest in our praise and in our repentance. And so they do all they can to keep those, you know, you have nothing to repent of, is what's taught. And God, you know, they're like Pharaoh of old. God who? And that's our enemy's outlook on it. And that's, you know, they have arisen to the places of authority. They've, as the Bible says, seated themselves in the seat of Moses. And, you know, we're right now at church, we're playing, you know, we try to get a live message and a timeless pulpit truth. That's what we've been doing at church. And right now we have just started replaying pastor series called They and Us. And we're going to continue this Sunday. We started part one last week. We're going to continue that through as part of the Timeless Pulpit Truths. And so I encourage you, Remnant, tune in. You're probably like me. Maybe you've seen it before. Maybe you've at least heard it before. But I listened to both broadcasts this past week. And what a foundational message to just prove and show from the Bible and then apply it to 30 years ago, and it's applied to today, the difference between the they and the us. And just like you said, Tim, that they, that's in our consciousness, and it's in our vocabulary, right? They're doing this. Yep. They're doing that. They're not going to allow you to do that. They. They're not going to let us do that. And so subconsciously, I think God has allowed that to happen so that, you know, at least it's in our vocabulary. But Pastor points it out scripturally. You can think of of some of the they as, think of Goliath with David and Goliath. You know, David didn't come up to Goliath and say, "Hey, big guy, let me introduce you to my God. You need to know my great God who blesses and all this." That's not what David did, because Goliath was a they. And anyway, that's just part of it. So, Remnant, I encourage you. We've got the series on, at least on CD, but it's called They and Us. And it is, again, Tim, you hit so much just in the short phone call. It is so simple. You kind of bonk your head and go, "Man, why didn't I think of that?" Because our pastor just, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he just points it right out to us. If you want to look at that truth, if you want to grow in truth and in knowledge. So I encourage you, Remnant, to do that, because it is a foundational issue, a foundational message. It's a great review as well. And we all need to be brushed up on it so that we can share that with those people that are coming to us, those people that are looking to us for answers today, for answers when the inflation is running away, and answers for the confusion in the House of Representatives these last few days, and in the government, and we need to be able to have the answers for them, and of course the answer is the truth of the gospel. You know, who God is, who his people are, and that his word is truth. Well, Tim, how's your weather over there? You guys finally warm up a little bit after that big cold snap?
Yeah. We had some amazing weather, and it really isn't anywhere near as cold here. I'm pretty far north in Wisconsin right now, so I'm just practically in Canada, you know.
Right.
So anyway, you know, so I mean it hasn't, but yeah, we were supposed to get a lot of snow and we didn't, and it hasn't been anywhere near as cold, and I think it's probably Jesus is blessing us a little bit or helping us out through this stuff, you know, and I'm just been, you know, pretty much grateful that, you know, we basically had someone like Pastor Peters to give us some of these amazing truths and break this this mind thing that the Baal priests have put on the country, you know, this this spell they cast on us with.
Amen.
You know, like you know, and so you know, thank God for Pastor Peters. I mean, he's still, in a way, he's still alive, right? He's there, and he's, like you said, that series, They and Us, and it's like, you know, that did so much, you know, to put the focus on just what the deal is, you know, that they think differently and they act differently, and yet somehow they've accrued all this power, and they're fixing on wiping us out right now. That's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But you know, they're not going to, because of because what God's blessed, you know, is not going to be vexed by their nonsense, you know.
Right. Well, Tim, thanks.
And so,
thanks,
you know, they're not going to win, you know. And in fact, I think they're starting to, you know, they're starting to collapse in on themselves already, actually, God willing. You know, it seems like, you know, Jesus will win. You know, we know that. So those that are with him will win, right?
Oh, amen. Amen. Yeah, we've read the book. We win. He wins. We win with him. So, well, Tim, thanks for the call. You stay warm up there in Wisconsin, and tell all your Canadians that you see, tell them we said hi. And again, thanks for the call, and God bless. Have a great new year. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And you know, like we talked about, there is confusion in the land today. In Isaiah 9, I had a couple comments on a couple scriptures on confusion. And, you know, in Isaiah 9, God is angry with Israel, and he is talking about, well, let's pick it up here, verse 13 of Isaiah 9. God says, "Yet the people do not turn back to him," meaning God, "who struck them, nor do they seek the Lord of hosts. So the Lord cuts off head and tail from Israel, both palm branch and bulrush, in a single day. The head is the elder and honorable man, and the prophet who teaches falsehood is the tail. For those who guide this people are leading them astray, and those who are guided by them are brought to confusion." And so I thought that applied, because there is confusion in the land today. There's confusion in these Judeo-Christian churches, whether they know it or not, and those that lead there and those that lead in the government. There is just absolute confusion. New year, right? New calendar year. And so the House, oh, they got 218 Republicans now. So they just have the simple process of electing a Speaker of the House. And old McCarthy thought he was just a shoo-in. And I got this quote here, but after 11 votes over the last, what, 3 days? Yeah, second, third, fourth, and fifth. Nope, nope, nope. There is confusion in the ranks. And I was looking it up today. They have not had this since 1860, okay? Almost 200 years. What, 180 years anyway, 140 years. Yeah, 180 years, whatever it is. I don't know, 160 years. But since 1860, they haven't had this confusion since the war between the states. And so when I was looking at the news reports today, oh, it's just the deals here and the deals there. And under the agreement, he's agreed to give HFC members a stronger presence on key House committees, blah, blah, blah. It's the same old, same old. As Pastor Peters used to say, there ain't a dime's worth of difference between most of them. I think we're seeing a few different ones, non-politicians, come in that got elected this past year saw this profanities fly as Republican factions get heated over McCarthy's speakership bid. You know what the profanities were? One representative under her breath says this is BS, but she didn't use the abbreviation. That's profanities fly. Have you ever seen some of the Democrats when they get together? Oh my gosh, it's like locker room talk. Anyway, that was beside the point. Got this quote from the House Freedom Caucus Chairman Scott Perry of Pennsylvania, who's opposing McCarthy. Here's a quote from him. In his 14 years in Republican leadership, McCarthy has repeatedly failed to demonstrate any desire to meaningfully change the status quo in Washington. Can you say the swamp? And see, that's coming out. See, it's not. And you know why it is, Remnant? Do you know why it is? Oh, I know God's causing it. God's making it happen. But it's because those of you, not all you Remnant, but some of you, I'm just talking to some of you, it's your, I'm not going to say it's your fault, but it's because of you. You few that have prayed. You few that pray the pistol prayer, that pray for the DC sorcery to cease, to pray for the spells to be broken. That's why. God's been waiting to do it. He's been, I think, waiting and wanting to do it. Waiting for his people to ask him to do it. I remember Pastor bringing that out in the Court of Divine Justice, that our God is that. He's the judge. He's just waiting. He's just waiting for it to be presented to him. And when enough present it to him and pray that pistol prayer and say, Lord, let this sorcery cease. This DC has got to end. And we see this time and time again. We're starting to anyway. These rhinos, right? Republicans in name only. And I think most of the Republicans and the Democrats are the same ilk, the same filth. There's a few that have come in that aren't politicians that I think are trying to make some changes. But right now it's confusion. It is absolute confusion. In our government, in just the elected leaders trying to continue on. You know, this past Sunday, I was able to bring a message, and I spoke from Micah 7. And Micah 7 talks about the times that we're in, but it talks about the confusion that is there as well. And you know, folks, it doesn't always, that confusion doesn't always come from the enemy. God brings it out, and God allows it, and God puts it forth at times. No, God is not a God of confusion, but he allows it upon his people. Let's take a look. I think we got time. Let's take a look at Micah 7. And I read it Sunday at church from the pulpit. Let's look at it again. Micah 7, woe is me. I am like the fruit pickers, like the grape gatherers. There's not a cluster of grapes to eat or a first ripe fig which I crave. The godly person has perished from the land, and there is no upright person among men. All of them lie in wait for bloodshed. Each of them hunts the other with a net. Concerning evil, both hands do it well. The prince asks also the judge for a bribe, and a great man speaks the desire of his soul. So they weave it together. The best of them, there's that they and us again. The best of them is like a briar, the most upright like a thorn hedge. The day when you post your watchman, your punishment will come. Then their confusion will occur. Do not trust in a neighbor. Do not have confidence in a friend. From her who lies in your bosom, guard your lips. For son treats father contemptuously. Daughter rises up against her mother. Daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. You know, Jesus spoke of that. And so we see that in this day, this accusation was made. And I think that it is just for today. It is that way today when we see this. The godly person has perished from the land. And so we're told how all this wicked and evil is, and that there is confusion. Confusion among them. But look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. But as for me, and so when you say but, right, that's the contradiction. That's the difference. So all this is that way. But Micah and his people, God's people that trust in God then and trust in him today, remnant, you and me. But as for me, as for us, I will watch expectantly for the Lord. That's Micah 7:7. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And I go back to, you know, reading Job. And I hope you're reading Job. And I hope you get that out of Job, that God did hear Job in his cries and in his prayers. And God will hear you. God has heard you. The Word of God says that my God will hear me. Who? If you watch expectantly for the Lord, if you wait for the God of your salvation, if you trust and have faith in Him, my God will hear me. And He does, and He is answering those prayers. Why hasn't there been this confusion in the House of Representatives in electing a Speaker of the House since 1860? Well, it's there now. How about that? It's there now. We read on. Though I fall, I will rise. Though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. And you know, remnant, we dwell in darkness in our land and in our time today. We do, because read this first part of Micah 7. It is that way. You know, 2 Timothy describes these perilous times. I hope we'll have time to get to that. But though I dwell in darkness, the Lord is a light for me. I will bear. Now this, it goes on. This is where it gets a little tough. This right here, you know, we're all like, oh yeah, God will hear me. Yes, yes, God, hear my cry. Well, let's read on just a little bit. Verse 9, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. And you know, folks, again, it just proves the word. All have sinned, right? We read that in the New Testament. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And this right here in Micah is just an earlier acknowledgement of that, but it's a facing up to it. And that's what God wants. He wants his people to repent, but he wants them to face up to it. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me out to the light, and I will see his righteousness. And then, well, before the then. See, that's what we have to do individually, and that's what we have to do corporately as a nation, as a, or at least as a family of believers, as the body of Christ, is do this very thing. We are, and as a people, and as a nation and as a land, do you not see that we are bearing the indignation of the Lord? Can you not see why this is hidden from so many, especially from the New Testament Christians? Those that have raised their hand and said, yeah, I accept Jesus. Well, Well, good for you. Where are we told to do that at, other than by your dirty bird prophet preacher in the pulpit? Where are we told to do that? I asked a brother that one time, in front of the post office. He said, oh, my life has changed so much since I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. And I said, brother, that's fantastic. I am glad you are at peace and having a blessed life. And I said, can you put, what scripture is that? I'd like to look at it, because I'd like that kind of peace as well. Where is it that we're told to do that, to accept Jesus as our personal Savior? And that's about how quiet it got. See, that's why you're not supposed to talk about, what, religion and politics, right? He pleads my case. And God did that by allowing Jesus Christ to come. Because Jesus said, I'll go and I'll plead their case. And I'll die for them. And I'll redeem them and bring them back into relationship with God. And he did. He did it. It's done. It's there. It's there to accept or not. And maybe that's where they get it. Oh, well, I'll accept it now. Well, when you do that, and then verse 10 comes in, then my enemy will see, and shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? Anyway, I it's encouraging to me to see the times that we are in these words. I hope that you see it as well. You know, the confusion that's in the land. But, you know, let's flip over to 1 Corinthians 14. You know, God is not a God of confusion. He is not. Let's look. 1 Corinthians 14 tells us that. And it's talking about tongues and whatnot. But it tells us that, you know, that all through this, that God is not, here it's up in verse 33, God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. And we can remember that. He is not a God of any type of confusion, but of peace. And, you know, we keep on, and it just, it pushes me to 1 Timothy 2. For some reason, I keep coming back to this. I know I've shared it with you. I think it's so much is that you know, the letters of Paul to Timothy are just that. We've talked about it on Saturday mornings. We've talked about it on Wednesday. And, you know, that we are to be training our replacements, and that's what Paul was doing to Timothy. He was giving him some cliff notes. Hey, buddy, here's a couple of, you know, a few more bullet points for you, if you would. You look at it. These letters are short, you know. 1 Timothy, what, 6 chapters? And 2 Timothy, just a little smaller, right? And so these are short books. They're cliff notes. They're just reminders. They don't cover it all, but they're just reminders. Some of the highlights, you might say. And in one of, you know, one of them, especially the first one, was in 1 Timothy 2, Paul says, Timothy, pray. Entreaties. I encourage that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority. What? Pray for those that are in authority. Pray for those kings. Pray for those representatives that are up there in confusion. Yeah. Why? Well, let's read on. So that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. So we are to pray for our leaders. And you know, if they are, if you pray sincerely, if they are, if they can repent, if they are God's, if they are part of the remnant and just don't know it, if they are just unfortunately believing the lie, but part of those that Jesus came to be redeemed, then, you know, God desires for them to be saved. And if we pray for them, well, that might change things in their lives. And if they're not, oh, you're going to give me the quote, well, yeah, should you bless those that curse thee? That's not what this does. No, I don't think so. I think what this does is that if they've misrepresented themselves, if they desire evil, then this prayer is heaping coals, bringing coals upon their head. And see, you leave that up to God. You leave that up to God to determine that. I really think it's that way. And I've shared with you before, you know, you can make that somewhat of a distinction in your prayer. You know, Lord, if they will repent, if they truly love you, or if they will, God knows. And if they will, Lord, bless them and strengthen them. Let them find favor in the sight of God and man, and let them be protected and be bold in loving you, God, and loving their neighbors themselves, and leading that way. But if not, if they're not of that ilk, if they are of the they and not the us, then let them fall in the pit they dig. That's biblical. Let their evil plans come back upon them. Don't let them overstep their bounds. Let them not destroy us. You can pray that way. You can be like Job and cry out to God. It's okay. God can take it. He wants it. He wants you to cry out to him. And in 2 Timothy 3, we see of the difficult times that we're in. I encourage you to read it. And I wanted to focus on verse 5, and I see we're wrapping up. I'm almost out of time tonight. But in verse 5, it says, after it's described all these ungodly, the difficult times that we're in, and it describes the way people are in these difficult times. And it says in verse 5 of 2 Timothy 3 that they hold to a form of godliness. See, they think they're it. They think their word is law. They think because they say it, you have to do it. They think that because they think it, that's the way it is. They hold to a form of godliness in their fancy suits or black Suburbans or whatever. It says, although they have denied its power, avoid such men as these. And we are to. We are to. And we see it, I think, in the confusion that is permeating our government right now. Our president is as confused as it gets. Oh, what you see his press deal today? He misquoted a law. It was almost like, yeah, instead of don't murder, go ahead and murder. I mean, he just got it all wrong. Confusion. Confusion. But let it be in their ranks and not in ours. And not in ours. I've got more notes I wanted to get to tonight. Didn't get a chance to. Well, that's about all the voice I got as well. I'm getting croaky here. I finished my bottle of water. And Well, Remnant, I mailed out our prayers. We got a new prayer, started out with a preparatory, not really an imprecatory prayer, but we did have a preparatory and a prayer from Micah 7 for the remnant, a crying out to God, similar to what I read tonight. And we got it in the mail to those of you. I know it's been a while since we've mailed a prayer out, but we did get that out today to those of you that requested it. Got it recorded, and we play it throughout the day as well on the broadcast. And if you'd like that prayer, we'd be glad to send it to you. We are to pray for one another. And remember, we're on 5085 tonight. And so looking forward to some reception reports to Jason at sfaw.org. And let us know, good, bad, whatever. We have to know, we need to know, so we can make adjustments and continue to be good stewards of all that God provides. And so make sure you send your reception reports in. And I've gotten a couple texts on them already. Appreciate that. And that's fine as well. And Remnant, we want to invite you back. Take tomorrow off, but come back Saturday morning. I don't mean don't listen tomorrow. I hope you click on the website and the live stream and or the audio player and just listen all the time if you can. But join us Saturday morning for another live program, Coffee with the Wranglers. And the good Lord willing, we'll be here and with our coffee and our Bibles and talking about some current events. And it's at least it is to me, it's a good time of Christian fellowship, of praise to God, thanking Him, and remembering all the blessings and the goodness He's done for us, and hearing it from other Christians and sharing it with other Christians. And so I hope you'll join us Saturday morning for coffee, 7 a.m. Mountain, 8 a.m. Central, 9 a.m. Eastern, and 6 a.m. on the West Coast, a little early out there. But I hope you'll join us right here at scriptures4america.org. God bless.
Time goes surging like a river. Life is swept away like sand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to His unchanging hand.
This is WTWW, Lebanon, Tennessee, USA.